Onomatopoeia is a reference to words that sound the way they, like Rice Krispies is an easy example. Snap, crackle, pop. And the word I want to refer to this morning is the word rough. When I was a kid, there was a band, it was a boy band called New Kids on the Block, and they were annoying, but anyway, they had this song, Are You Tough Enough? And they would say these words, and of course, well, the word rough would come up many times, and we all know what it means. I was driving out to teach at Lay Formation Institute over the weekend, and you take County NN, and there's a little sign there that says rough road, and they're not kidding. I mean, they've tried to fix that patch, and it never works. Part of it is, of course, Wisconsin with frost and all these things, but we know what it means to have a rough flight or to be on a boat where the water is choppy. There are a lot of ways that we can experience the things that are rough. But it can be interior too. I mean, the good news is that Jesus said that the rough ways are going to be made smooth. And that's our hope, not just the roads, but the interior life of our heart, the way God made us. But life can be very rough for us as human beings. I remember this boy, Joe Clements, class of 2006, nice kid, quiet, but very alert, had a nice sense of humor, had a lot of good friends he did, but he had his struggles, and he confided some of those in me, and it was 2 years after he graduated that just before my first hour of class, somebody said that Joe, he took his life last night. I had just a few moments to kind of get myself composed so I could go stand in front of my other students. It's one of the tougher days of my life because Joe was a good boy. And people struggle. That's a part of our human existence. And so to make ways smooth, we wonder how. How can you and I help each other? Because we're all in the same mess, but we're redeemed that God has conquered. By his death and resurrection, he set us free. And yet there are still things that make it difficult for us to be courageous, to be hopeful, which is, of course, our duty as Christians. If we want to help to make ways smooth for people that are going through some rough spots, and it's the opposite of the Olympic model. The best homily I ever heard was the theme was slower, lower, weaker, and the Olympic model is the opposite of higher, faster, stronger, or whatever. Christ, he shows us the way, and he is the way, and he's going to give us all the things that we need, every grace that is necessary for us, because sometimes life is rough. It's a little rough this morning here for Francesca, but she's doing great. She's doing great. We love it when kids are up front here. And this family, Rick and Teresa Luffy, they lit the candle this morning. I'm really happy they got the right one. And Kateri wanted me to tell you it's her birthday today. So, okay, we got that all taken care of. But slower, lower, weaker. Slower is being present to each other. Mahatma Gandhi, he said there's more to life than just increasing its speed. But I don't know about you, but this time of the year, I got a lot to do. I'm a very important person, and if you get in the way, but you know, there are great things in life that invite us to slow down. One for me is to visit people, especially the older people, the sick, to bring them communion. Imagine if I knocked at the door and, hello, Bob, the body of Christ. See you later. I mean, that would be really like, are you kidding me? I'm like, no, there's a little way that I've learned as you spend time with people. You have a little chat, how is life treating you? Tell me about your family. And then by the time you've been there 15, 20 minutes, you want to pray? Sure. And that deepens the bond of communion with Christ, but also with each other. To slow down is really important. The people in front of us are images and likenesses of God. And to love them as Christ is to elevate who we are. We become more like him by treating each person as if it were the Lord himself. Last night I had a family visited, and after Mass, they brought some soup and some bread, and Mom and Dad and 8 kids, and then at the end of this, they're like, Father, you want to play apples to apples? I said, no, the football game's on. Are you kidding me? No, I don't want to play this game. That's what I was thinking, but I said yes, and I played, and I won, so it was a good night, and you're like, Father, you're shameless. Absolutely, it's all about winning, but slower, to slow down and to see the people who are in front of us. To be present to them, to love them, is to help to make things smooth, to help people to recognize that I'm not alone. People care about me. They're interested in me. They love me. The next one is to be lower, and this is the image of Christ. Though he was in the form of God, he didn't deem equality with God something to be grasped at. He empties himself. God is humble. There used to be a barn right in the middle of Marshfield, and it was owned by Catholics, and there was a sign, "Behold the humility of God who was born in a stable." Wow, that the creator of the universe became one of us and was born as a baby in poverty, laid in a manger. He's not afraid of being small, of being humble. And if we're going to be like him, then we have to grow in that way. There was a priest that they, in this small town, they didn't like this priest, and they had a petition to get rid of him. And they went around the town to get everybody to sign it, and then they gave it to the bishop, and when he looked at it, he laughed right away. Because the first signature was the priest. He signed it. He said, "If you want to get rid of me, I'll go. That's fine." And it was actually Father Bob Thorne. No, I'm kidding. I just talked to him last night on the phone. Now that he's retired, I can really take cheap shots. But to be humble is to be like Christ. St. John the Baptist, who really is the saint of Advent, he must increase, but I must decrease. Little ways of being humble configure us to Christ, and then we can help smooth things out for other people. Slower, lower, and weaker, which is the least favored, at least for me. To be weak is to be human, to have limitations. It's a part of the damage of original sin. A priest a couple of weeks ago in Wisconsin Rapids, young guy, he wrote in the bulletin that he's having some struggles, and so he's going to take a leave. He admitted that some of it was a mental illness of sorts, that he needs help, and it's a hard thing to admit. And he said in that little announcement that his sister had just given birth, and they had waited a long time to have a child, but the baby came prematurely and only lived a few hours. And he said, "That has really overwhelmed me, and I need to go away for a while." To be humble is to admit our weakness and that we need help, all of us. But there is help for us, that there is a divine physician. Maybe I've told this story, but when I was first ordained, I had to go back to Rome to finish my degree. And so my first year as a priest was in a seminary. But once in a while, I'd get out with the people of God. And after exams, we went down to this little town on the coast. The town is called Spirlonga. And I was looking for a place for Mass in this little convent. The sister said, "You can use our chapel." And there were two of us that were traveling together. So I had my English Mass book and everything. And we set up for Mass, and in came all the sisters. So then we had to have Mass in Italian. And afterwards they said, "Father, tomorrow on Sunday, this little chapel becomes a parish. And our priest isn't feeling too well." "Oh, you want me to come back?" "Yeah. And if you come a little early, sometimes there's a confession, maybe two." I got there the next morning about, an hour, 15 minutes before Mass, because I wanted time to think, to pray, to write out my homily. So, you know, preaching in a foreign language is a real peach. I can barely handle it in English. Anyway, I had just started to pray, wrote my first sentence, tap, tap, tap. "Yes?" It was the Mother Superior. She said, "Father, they're here." "What?" Word got out, there's a young American priest. His Italian's not very good. He's going to be here in confessions tomorrow. You may want to get there. This is going to be the chance of a lifetime. The whole town showed up. I mean, I swear, I heard confessions literally for an hour and a half. We had to start Mass late. I have no idea what anybody said, but they all got off with a nice Hail Mary and an Our Father. But the point is, they came because they wanted to be healed. They came because they were weak, because they struggle with sin. So are we, all of us. To admit it is the beginning of making the way smooth, of recognizing that there's a rough spot in our heart, but that's not beyond repair. For this God sent his Son, and he came into our world, and he wasn't afraid to be slow and low and weak so that we could be healed. The recognition of all these things is necessary for us to embrace this season. If you watch the old movie, it's a long time ago now, The Shawshank Redemption, it said that geology is this, that's the study of time and pressure. That's all it is, really, time and pressure. Salvation is time and grace, the grace of the sacraments. I used to tell my students, if you throw a jagged rock into the ocean, fish it out 10 minutes later, it's the same rock. Wait a year, wait 10 years, wait 50 years. That rock will be all smooth between the salt and the sand and all those elements. It becomes something beautiful. Salvation. Time and grace, that's all it really is. Let's give God the time. He'll give us the grace.